Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America. Happy Sunday morning. Welcome to the Sunday Brunch edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Oh my gosh, we got such a great show for you today. A lot of it will be focused on the border because I think it's so important. We're going to start off, though, with Congressman Rich McCormick. He's a Marine and a special operator, an emergency room doctor. Now, a member of Congress from Georgia, and I think one of the most thoughtful people in Congress. He has a lot to say about Joe Biden, the presidency, the border, the Robert Hur report. He'll kick us off with a very vigorous discussion. Congressman McCormick, really one of the great thinkers in Congress. He's a newcomer to Congress, but he is getting a lot of attention early. And we'll start there. Then we'll go down to the border. Two consecutive Arizona congressmen are going to come on, Andy Biggs and Eli Crane. Eli Crane, a special operator in his first term in Congress. They're going to talk about the border, the drug crisis, the lack of action by Joe Biden, and the failure of action by House and Senate Republicans. Two great interviews back to back. We're going to have a lot of food for thought before we're done with that. And then Derek Maltz, the former special operations chief of the Drug Enforcement Agency, the DEA. He's going to talk to us about the extraordinary failures, the extraordinary unwillingness of influencers in Hollywood and the music industry to use their power of persuasion to fight against the fentanyl crisis that is killing tens of thousands of Americans a year. Actually, well over 100,000, it looks like now. It's a serious issue. We did a whole special on this not that long ago. Derek Maltz is going to call out the influence and say, where are you? We need your esteem, your influence, your reputations to educate and fight against the scourge. Derek Maltz knows the scourge firsthand. He's been on the front lines of the drug war for a very long time. And then we'll wrap up with Dr. Jeff Gunter. He is President Trump's former ambassador to Iceland. He's running for a Senate seat in Nevada, and everyone is excited about Nevada in the Republican world. People in the Democrats, not so excited because the polling doesn't look so good. Dr. Gunter will tell us why Republicans are doing so well, why Hispanics are moving towards Republicans and Trump, blacks, union workers, service union workers. Jeff Gunter, great straight shooter when it comes to what he's seeing on the ground in Nevada, and he's doing quite well in that Senate race, so keep an eye on him. All right, that is our Sunday Brunch edition. What a great lineup. Congressman McCormick, Congressman Biggs, Congressman Crane, the DEA's Derek Maltz, and Dr. Jeff Gunter, former ambassador and now current U.S. Senate candidate in Nevada. We're going to have a great Sunday discussion, and no discussion like Sunday discussion is complete without a shout out from my good friends at Factor. As you know, I put a lot of effort into making my health better these last year or so. And one of the ways is to make sure that when I'm under stress and have little time to go make healthy food. I don't fall backwards, right? I don't go and say, get a heart attack in a sack at one of the fast food restaurants. Got to stop that, right? Well, my friends at Factor Meals have made it easy to stop that. They have extraordinary meals, doctor selected, chef prepared. They cook in less than 3 minutes. I cook mine in about 2 minutes and I feel good. I eat healthier. I don't fall to the fast food prey. And that is something that is really very special for my friends at Factor Meals. They make eating better every day easier. And you'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie, and so much more. And there's also over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that you can add to your weekly meal plan, food that's ready in a couple of minutes. So you're busy, but you can eat healthy. You don't have to go for the junk food. Don't have to go to the fast food restaurant. Don't have to go to the fatty stuff that we normally fall to. This is great stuff. And I'm so grateful for my friends at Factor Meals who do this. So what's really special is Factor Meals is going to give you half off your first order. Did you hear that? Half off your first order. You don't get half off anything. You don't get any discounts these days. The economy's so inflated, right? Well, Factor Meals has done it. All you got to do is go to factormeals.com/justnews50. Factormeals.com/justnews and then the number 5050. Use the promo code justnews50 and you're going to get 50% off your first box and 2 free wellness shots per box while subscriptions are active. That's the code justnews50 at factormeals.com/justnews50. You get 50% off your first box and 2 free wellness shots per box. It's a great deal. Go check them out. Say thank you to them for supporting Just the News and John Solomon Reports and all the other great ventures that we have here in the Just the News family. All right, let's take that quick commercial break. When we come back, first up, Congressman Rich McCormick. Oh, man, he's a great interview. Buckle your seatbelt when you come back. He's got a lot to say. We'll have that after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back, America. We've got another great member of Congress who's making a big difference every day in the halls of the House. Congressman Rich McCormick represents Georgia's 6th Congressional District, and he serves on the important committees of House Foreign Affairs, as well as a select subcommittee on the coronavirus pandemic. All those are doing very important stuff. Congressman, great to have you back on the show.
Good to be with you today.
So I want to get your top line. We now have the Justice Department saying that the current president willfully kept classified documents. He shared those documents with an author who didn't have the clearance to have them. And some of those documents are really sensitive, like Afghanistan, military issues, sources and methods, and then records of his conversations with the Ukraine prime minister right around the time he forced the firing of the prosecutor that was looking at Hunter Biden's Burisma company. I want to get your top line as you absorb everything that Robert Hur told us today.
Think about the hypocrisy involved in this. Think about all the Democrats We were just talking about people who literally stuffed classified documents down their pants and been excused. Hillary Clinton, who was subpoenaed on information that would literally be prosecuted for any person in the military, destroyed evidence, went against the subpoena power. We're talking about Biden and something he openly admitted on TV that he did that was absolutely impeachable and absolutely unethical and against everything that you do in office. And yet they want to go after Trump for something that really was benign, that has nothing to do with anything that he's being prosecuted for other than having some documents, not stuff that could actually be used against him legally for something he broke the law on. This is an unbelievable double standard of justice, and it shouldn't be excused.
Yeah.
Well, and there's an interesting dichotomy because, you know, you look at the polling and everybody has seen this reflected in practically every national poll. Every time they go after President Trump, his polling increases. And it seems that every time they don't go after Joe Biden, it's the same effect. So, you know, he doesn't go to jail. He doesn't even have to stand trial. But politically speaking, I feel like there's practically no way that people down the middle and maybe even some folks on the left see this for exactly what it is.
The people aren't stupid. They can see the double standard. They can see that one side is absolutely given an excuse. The other side is actually lambasted. We can see that when Ted Cruz talked about the bias in media and he interviewed a professor who was a liberal professor and talked about the 2 points, at least 2 points, that was years ago, that this makes a difference. And think about how narrow each election cycle is. When you have a 2-point advantage just based on the way that media covers the news, that is a tremendous amount of leverage when it comes to elections and power. And right now, the Democrats are using it to be king of the ashes.
Yeah, that's a great point. So you've served your country in so many capacities in the military, as an emergency room doctor, now in the halls of Congress. The Justice Department's top prosecutor in this case said Joe Biden had such a bad memory, he couldn't remember when he was vice president, he couldn't remember when his son died, and that was a good reason not to prosecute him because he would look sympathetic as a feeble old man in front of a jury. I just want to get your reaction to that application of justice.
Let's put the justice aside for a second. I'm an ER doc by trade. You walk in the room, you can look at this guy. Every time he's on TV, he looks confused. Yeah. Every time he talks, he's confused. If he's not taken by the arm and shown where to go, he doesn't know where to walk. He could be at the White House and try to go through the wrong entrance. He could be on stage and not know which direction to go. He doesn't know who's standing next to him. He doesn't even know where he's going most of the time. This is just a confused old man. Now, the whole problem with the whole prosecution issue is I'm more concerned about presidential decisions. We're talking about a guy who has the keys to nuclear arms. You're talking about a guy who makes decisions on who to attack and who to defend and who to support and has to make a defense of our policy, foreign and domestic. This is a guy who couldn't sell his plan to anybody right now. I think the Democrats are starting to realize that in a very real way. And the question is, who will they replace him with?
Yeah, that is the question.
Congressman, as an ER doctor, I imagine that there are some other things that are very readily apparent to you when you walk in and encounter a patient, things like gender. And while illegal immigration still is the number one issue in this country, all of the woke garbage surrounding gender fluidity and all of this stuff going into schools, especially for parents, it's a major issue. And yesterday was, I want to make sure I get the title right, National Girls and Women in Sports Day, a very, very important day considering the zeitgeist we are in. Tell us why that's so important to you.
So I was actually with Riley Gaines yesterday. Uh-huh. And with a group of gals who were really standing up for the rights. And I've always said, look, I'm not going to be able to fight this like the women. Once the women decide that they don't want to have all their scholarships taken, all the awards given, all the contracts given, once they don't want to have men dominate a woman's world, then this is going to be over. I mean, this is an insane conversation from the beginning, to me anyways, as a bystander who's just waiting for women to wake up and defend themselves against an invasion by men who want to be women. How do they even know what they want to be if they've never actually been a woman? I watched rugby tournaments where a man gets to play against women, and I watched them pile drive a woman. I watched the MMA fighters knock out a woman. Do we really want to see men knocking out women and breaking records and stealing scholarships? Is that really where we're at in society after fighting for women's rights for so many years? Is that what we've come to? I think this is a great topic that we're on the winning side of once again.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Sir, I know there's a lot of questions about the current stewardship of the Pentagon. You served in uniform bravely for our country. Can you give us your top line on Lloyd Austin and the state of the Pentagon from recruitment to readiness in the field?
Yeah, I remember talking to the sergeant major of the Army who still owes me 100 push-ups because he said he's going to make his recruiting goals. I laughed at him. I said, you guys are recruiting the wrong kind of people. You're going after the wrong kind of genre. You can't recruit people who don't think patriotically. One of the things we've had as an advantage is family lineages of people who want to be in the military because their father was in the military or their mother was in the military. That's going away because right now nobody wants to go into a woke military system. We want warriors. You want to know why the Marine Corps recruits better than anybody else? Or they're the only ones making ends when it comes to recruiting goals? It's because we go after the warriors. We go after a class of people who actually believe in this country, who would give their life for this country, who want the challenge. I don't want to bring somebody in who's going to get just a scholarship or just an advantage in the job market. I want somebody who actually wants the challenge. That's the best thing about that Marine Corps sticker that's on the back of our car. We have more Marine Corps stickers on the back of cars than any other services combined, but it's a small service. Why is that? Because we make it hard. We make you want it. We make you earn it. And that's the kind of person you go after in recruiting. When you make this about whatever political policy you want to make it, nobody wants that. And if you get that kind of person in the military, they're not going to serve you well anyways. If you're bringing them in to have a transgender surgery, you're not going to be useful to me. You're never going to need to be deployed, and somebody else is going to have to deploy in your place. And I have to figure out what to say and how to say it. That's not the warrior's way.
All right, a double trip down to the border. First up, our good friend Andy Biggs down in Arizona. He'll join us after the commercial break.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
He's a member of the House Oversight Committee, one of the most important voices when it comes to our southern border. And quite frankly, for any common sense in Washington, he is Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs. Congressman, good to have you back on the show, sir.
Both of you are too kind to me. It's good to be with you.
We love having you on. Our audience loves having you on because we get the straight talk. And I want to start with the new impeachment information we learned this morning. This basically bankruptcy representative for AmeriCorps basically says, I don't know of any paperwork that shows that James Biden did anything for the money. There's not even paperwork for the loan. I can't even tell you why he had the title he had. Does this look like one of those no-show jobs?
It sure does. And thank you guys for breaking that story. This is something that we were on to for a while in our committee. And the interesting thing is James Biden, the Biden whole family enterprise, not one of them can come up with any documentation to show, certainly with regards to AmeriCorps, that James Biden did any work for them. Other than this murky thing of consultant, but nobody really, there's nothing in documentation to show when he did it, how he consulted, what he had to say. And there certainly is no evidence of loans given to him or documentation of loans. Because remember, the reason that that's critical is because he's getting money from Hunter Biden Enterprises, $200,000 here, $40,000 there. And it says in the memo, loan repayment. For what? For what? And so it's a congeries. It's a congeries of crazy, an attempt to actually launder money, hide money. And the thing with AmeriCorps is pretty stinky because that ends up going bankrupt and nobody can tell us what he did.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary.
Right. Mm. Well, and outside of what your committee has learned and brought to light, I don't think anyone's really even heard of AmeriCorps anyway. But with respect to Lionhall, that consulting firm of James Biden's, the one for which Ms. Fox can't seem to locate any actual services rendered. Have you noticed anything or have you found anything with respect to Lion Hall that it was a substantial business?
No, we really haven't, which is interesting because at the same time that's going on, don't forget he's creating and constructing federal housing in foreign countries and receiving lots of money there. But nothing indicates that this business was actually a real business. I mean, let's just face it. What is the product he was selling?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. And we may never get an answer because maybe there was no product. We'll have to wait and see. Congressman, I want to ask a little bit about the money trail to President Biden. You found some examples. Have any of the recent witnesses given you any other insight as to where money could have come in from all these LLCs and somehow get to the benefit of Joe Biden? Do you have any other leads beyond the good ones that you've already put out to the American public?
You know what's happened with the latest ones. Let's take, for instance, Kevin Morris, the connoisseur of art that gave $7 million to Hunter Biden, and then later, after he was giving him this money, decided to get a promissory note because that he thought that was required under the California attorney's ethics. There is nothing. They did a pretty good job. I mean, it's just like the CEO Burisma said. I've hidden this money so much nobody will ever be able to, it'll take him 10 years to figure out I was even tied to Joe Biden, that type of thing. They've done a pretty good job, but when they come in to testify, their memory gets a little hazy on things, and they don't recall or they don't answer, and they kind of deflect us away. But be sure to understand that any benefit to Hunter Biden also inured to the benefit of Joe Biden. Why is that important? Because Hunter Biden himself said in his book and elsewhere, he was providing resources to his father.
Yeah, that's right. He did. Yeah. Man, if you could just, I want to follow up one thing. Is there enough evidence now that the committee should subpoena the president's own bank and financial records? Do you have enough cause to do that now?
Oh, I think so. I don't know if anybody else agrees with me, but I think you do, and I think you have to get to the bottom of it, and that's where you're going to find it. Yeah. You know, I used to think that he was clever enough to have this in some kind of a foreign overseas account and be very difficult for us to get. I'm not so sure I buy that anymore.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes, sir. I know that you've got some big testimonies coming up, closed door testimonies, of course, from Tony Bobulinski, James Biden, and Hunter Biden. And I would also imagine that the information you glean from each testimony, you're going to use that to build on with each subsequent testimony and questioning. But I wanted to ask you about Tony Bobulinski specifically, because I think he's probably going to have some pretty substantial information to share with you about the genesis of the relationship with CEFC. And you now, I think, have two witnesses now, Rob Walker and Tony Bobulinski, who have attested to the fact that, in fact, there was some communication with Joe Biden while he was still in office. Do you think that they were possibly stupid enough to record any of the details of that meeting? And if not, how much more juice do you think you can squeeze from the Tony Bobulinski lemon regarding the meeting that took place while Joe Biden was in office?
I'm not sure there was a recording, but I don't like to call Tony Bobulinski a lemon because I think he's more like the fruit of a very ripe tree because he has a lot of information to give. And I think he's going to, in my review of all the things that he has said, there is some stuff that is pretty obviously damning. And it's actually been substantiated by everybody from Devin Archer, Rob Walker. All these guys have substantiated what Tony Bobulinski said. He wasn't the only one. Also, the whistleblowers also substantiated what right. Bobulinski said. What I'm telling you is he has got more information to give. I think he's going to give it, and I think it's one that you can rely on. It'll be information you can rely on because his track record has proven to be unshakable with other witnesses and other substantiating evidence.
Yeah, no, that's mm-hmm. definitely true. You look at the statements he's made in public, they've all been substantiated. Sir, I want to turn to another project that you've been involved with. You joined several lawmakers yesterday to argue for a resolution to declare that President Trump didn't incite an insurrection. Tell us why that's important to you personally and why it would help the country.
Well, okay, on a personal level for me, to watch the political witch hunt that has gone on against President Trump is just outrageous to me. And it is political. And the second thing is, what's gone on with the left-wing media using the term insurrection because they know it has a legal significance. They bastardized that term. Even Christopher Wray, in an exchange with Eric Swalwell in the Judiciary Committee in 2021, said, well, you know, I can't use that term. I'm paraphrasing, of course. He said, I can't use that term because I have to use a legal definition. And so they crafted a narrative. And I'll tell you, the third thing is they've tried to rope everybody who was for a decertification, 141 plus members.
Right.
And we were doing the same thing Democrats had done. They used the process to try to decertify President Trump's election, et cetera. But now, because we moved to decertify, we are somehow insurrectionists. And they've used that in a very narrative building way. And so I look at it and I say, when you start trying to suppress people from being able to vote because you think Donald Trump's going to win, because I think that's really the motivation of this, that they're so scared he's going to win that you start actually filing lawsuits claiming he's an insurrectionist and under the 14th Amendment, he should be ineligible to be elected president. I tell you, you've gone over the line. You know, it's one thing to call me an insurrectionist. I can take it. I've got thick skin. You can even call President Trump an insurrectionist. He's got thick skin. But it's quite another thing to try to use something that has absolutely no legal significance, no legal meaning whatsoever, and try to use that to prevent the Republican Party nominee, Donald Trump, from being able to be on the ballot. Then I say, shame on you, and it's time for us to really go after it.
Yeah,
they don't seem to be acting like people who know they are going to win in November. Sir, I wanted to ask you about this letter that you and a number of your House colleagues, along with Senator J.D. Vance, sent to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, demanding answers regarding Ukraine weapons packages. You know, we obviously all know about the financial failings, overvaluing by the Pentagon of aid that was sent there. And I know that that's an important answer to get from him. But we keep hearing from John Kirby, Green Jean-Pierre. We even hear from Joe Biden, although I can't really trust anything he says, considering he can't recall the name Hamas. What are the most important things that you need to hear from the Secretary of Defense? Because, you know, unfortunately, he did have this surgery that took him out for a little while, but he's been back in the office, but he doesn't seem to be present the way that he should be.
Well, first of all, you can't believe anything that Karen Jean-Pierre says or what John Kirby says either. So nothing is being said that's the truth. The reason that we have to go to Secretary Austin is he's still got the title. I agree with you. He's been MIA, and we don't know really who's running that ship ever since he got back from his surgery or wherever he was. So I'm left with this. We have got to get to the bottom of where's our money being spent? Where's the material going?
Folks, we're going to stay down in Arizona. Another congressman who's made a big mark, even though he's a freshman, former special operator, Eli Crane, congressman from Arizona. We're going to stay on the border discussion. We'll talk about Robert Hur and all we learned this week about Joe Biden, scandals around Joe Biden, with Eli Crane right after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The Welcome back, everybody. We're going to dive right back into our conversation because we are joined by a congressman who has tried to do more for the American people than some of his colleagues. For example, just hours ago, the Natural Resources Committee advanced his bill, which would transfer land in Arizona for a veterans center. The center would be a first of its kind in northern Arizona and would provide resources and support to primarily rural veterans and their families. So joining us now is Arizona Congressman Eli Crane. He's a key member who serves on both the House Homeland Security and Veterans Affairs Committee. Congressman, welcome back to the show, sir. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, John, Amanda. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be with
Congressman,
you.
Congressman, I want to start with the top headline. It's the top headline now. Earlier today, it was the Supreme Court, so we'll ask you about that as well. But I want to start with Special Counsel Robert Hur's, 345 report that came out basically saying that, you know, President Biden, yeah, he retained and possibly disseminate classified information. He's well-meaning, but too enfeebled for this to go any further. So Joe Biden wins because he doesn't have to stand trial. He wins because there's not the potential of going to jail. But I do wonder about this for him politically. I think that that's where you get a check in the L column. And I'm asking you what the repercussions will be in November.
Well, I think that once again, we see the double standard. And I think this is why you continue to see the polls go the way that they are for President Trump. They realize the heavy double standard across the board that he's been up against. And I think that, you know, it's going to really hurt President Biden come November. And I think that it's going to just mean more and more support for President Trump.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's pretty remarkable. You have been very articulate all your time in Congress arguing about this dual system of justice. And it feels like we have that fresh example today, right? President Trump isn't accused of sharing a classified document. When he does get charged, Joe Biden knowingly and willfully shared classified information with his ghostwriter, according to Robert Hur, but he's not going to get charged. How do you think people will look at that treatment of two presidents under very similar circumstances? One walks away unscathed.
Well, like I said, I think that you're seeing more and more. Like, I mean, when you see, you know, Snoop Dogg, who made a video, where he was doing a drive-by shooting on President Trump. Now he's saying he's got no beef with President Trump and supports President Trump and how great, you know, the president has treated him. You're starting to see, I think, even cultural figures start to realize the double standard and start to swing President Trump's way. And those folks have a massive following. And I think that it's going to pay dividends for the president. And I think that a lot of what you see going on, the attempts from the Democrats who know that they can't beat Trump in a fair fight, have turned towards lawfare. And I think that I think that most of their efforts are going to wind up biting them in the rear come November.
Yeah.
And I think you're so keen on mentioning those cultural references because I can't remember if this was last night or the day before, but Stephen A. Smith, the sportscaster, came out, someone who has been very critical of President Trump, bringing forward the argument about impoverished Americans as we are allowing illegal immigrants to flood across our border, $53 million program in New York where they just hand out debit cards to these illegal immigrants there in Arizona. I know that this is going to be the number one issue. Well, and polls have shown across the country. Talk to us about that and the efforts that you are making in your state to make sure that the people of Arizona are paying attention.
Well, you know, when I look at this situation, guys, I look at it as an entrepreneur and a special operator. And I just try and, you know, use as many tools as we have available to us as, you know, a congressman. So obviously, legislatively, that's number one. You know, we passed H.R. 2. Obviously, that's gone nowhere because of this, this Senate and the president. You know, then I look at some of the other tools that we have available to us, in committee hearings, oversight. You know, we've done everything we can over the last year to bring in experts, you know, witnesses to expose, shine a light on, you know, what Secretary Mayorkas and President Biden have done to completely open up this southern border and create the invasion that we have on the southern border. You know, and then we can also use our platform for more exposure, which I think everybody in Congress on this side of the aisle has tried to do. The last thing that we've tried to do, guys, is we've tried to use the power of the purse, to force, a shutdown at the southern border. Unfortunately, too many of our colleagues won't participate in this because they feel like it's going to lead to a government shutdown, which they don't feel like we can win politically. I think that they're gravely mistaken. I think that the vast majority of Americans, Republicans, Independents, and Democrats are with us. And what I hear when I talk to my voters all the time, they're furious, and they'd be okay with whatever we had to do to shut this border down. And so you're right. It is the number one issue in the country. It's going to continue to wreak havoc upon cities, even the cities where the officials and leaders champion, you know, sanctuary cities are starting to feel the pain of it now. And you're seeing reversals from many of them. And so, you know, we're going to continue to keep the pressure on. We tried to impeach Secretary Mayorkas this last week. Unfortunately, we were unable to do that because a couple Republicans, you know, didn't vote alongside of us. You know, I think that was very disappointing to see. But I will say this. I am glad for at least at the bare minimum that I'm a part of the political party up here that has representatives that actually think for themselves and don't just fall in lockstep and do exactly what they're told. So that goes our way sometimes. It goes against us sometimes. And it most certainly did this last week with Secretary Mayorkas.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. Sir, I want to ask a little bit about the other side of the Capitol. Mitch McConnell and his lieutenants putting together a bill that really insulted the American people, and they had to withdraw it very quickly. But there seems to be, at least among a certain subset of the Republican senators, a failure to distinguish themselves from the Democratic agenda of Joe Biden. They seem to be buying into, hey, 5,000 illegal aliens a day is fine with us. How does that harden the party? How does the party fix that and clean it up so that the party goes united into the fall election with the right message for the American people and the voters of Arizona?
Well, it goes like this, John. Guys like myself need to call out individuals like Langford and, you know, Mitch McConnell, Kristen Sinema, and others who, you know, got behind this horrible plan. Bottom line, John, Mitch McConnell needs to go. Everybody knows it. Everybody in our party at the grassroots knows it. You know, he is, you know, he absolutely exemplifies the swamp, is not in touch with the American people. And once again, he not only showed his weakness, but his incompetence. And I hope he pays a very heavy political price for it. And guys, it has nothing to do with personally how I feel about Mitch McConnell. I don't know him at all. But I'm up here and I know a lot of my colleagues are up here to save the country. And if we're going to do that, we cannot have leadership like Mitch McConnell. And once again, we saw it with this disastrous border bill. Anybody and everybody that got behind of it, you know, got behind this bill should be ashamed of themselves, because it's a disaster for the American people.
It is.
Yeah. You know, John mentioned the insulting effect on the American people with a bill like this, but there's a group of Americans who I think are insulted by their government on a daily basis because they're not prioritized by their government. And it's the men and women who put their lives on the line literally for this nation. And you're one of those folks on Capitol Hill who absolutely champions and fights for veterans' rights. And I want to ask you about your bill that was just advanced in your committee regarding the transfer of this land in northern Arizona. Tell us about these veteran centers.
No, I think, you know, it's awesome. We were able to take, we were able to take some Forest Service land that wasn't being used, transfer it over to the Gila County. And Gila County, under, you know, some of their leadership out there, you know, they're turning this into a veteran center. And I think it's fantastic, guys, because, you know, a lot of Americans feel left behind right now. We all know that. I think that's especially felt in the veteran community, especially post this Afghanistan withdrawal. So many veterans feel disenfranchised. They feel left behind. They feel like they've come back to a country they don't recognize, that doesn't really care about them, because leaders in Washington don't put Americans first. And so when we can take something that's not being used and turn it into a retreat and a place that, you know, veterans can go for restoration to spend time with their families, you know, often many of them haven't transitioned yet, so they can't afford, you know, to go on vacation. So if they can go to a beautiful place like Young Arizona and enjoy the mountains, enjoy the trees, the fresh air, barbecue, spend time with other veterans, it's a fantastic, you know, it's a fantastic opportunity. And I'm so proud of the folks in Gila County, like Woody, that have led this charge here. And I'm proud to get behind it. And I hope it, for years to come, is just a haven for veterans to go with their families and just retreat.
Yeah, really amazing. Sir, I got about 30 seconds. One of the docs, I'm going to go back to where we started the conversation. One of the documents Joe Biden kept, documents from December 15, his conversations with the Ukrainian prime minister, the very week that he was trying to get the Ukrainian prosecutor fired. We know it's a part of impeachment. Important for Congress to get a hold of that document now?
Oh, yeah. Let's add that one to the very long list of documents that we need to get our hands on.
All right, folks, you see influencers always making pitches for public service announcements and good causes on YouTube, on Instagram and TikTok. Well, so few are doing it to fight and speak out against the scourge that is the fentanyl crisis. Derek Maltz wants to call them out. He's the former DEA Special Operations Chief. He'll join us next and explain why right after these messages. Welcome back, America. President Joe Biden's campaign, along with his administration, have long relied on Hollywood celebrities and social media influencers to deliver important messages to young voters between the ages of 18 and 29 years old. But if you've noticed, the White House nor the Department of Homeland Security has not utilized any of those social influencers to create videos about the state of our southern border or how fentanyl is traversing over the border and creating havoc with American lives. Our next guest used to be the director of the Drug Enforcement Agency's Special Operations Division. He wants to know why the Biden administration isn't calling on their influencers to help educate the public on this very important issue. Joining us right now, Derek Maltz. Derek, great to have you back on the show, my friend.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
We rave over the fact that, well, Taylor Swift's at the NFL and now everybody's watching the NFL games. We see what TikTok has done to create narratives and movements in our country. This is a movement, the fentanyl movement and the families and victims of fentanyl. They've been without many influencers. Why is that? Why aren't more people in the influential business, influence business, able to engage on this?
Well, number one, they don't really pay attention to the details. This isn't your normal drug crisis. It's the worst in the history of the country, and it's killing at record levels. And it's a poisoning of our future generation. But what bothers me, John, and you kind of alluded to it, is that the Biden administration, very smartly, they will actually use social media influencers to push out campaign messages, which I applaud them for that. It's very smart hitting the 18 to 26-year-olds, right, that are on Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok all day long. The problem is the kids of America are on those same platforms. So it'd be nice if the White House would use those influences to go after that audience. Now, Joe Biden just blew another opportunity. He was asked to do a, you know, interview for the Super Bowl, right? How many millions are watching the Super Bowl? He could have talked about the Kansas City Chiefs fans that died from fentanyl poisoning. They were deceived to death. He could have sent a powerful message to the world on how dangerous this is. But he opted out because he's being hidden again. They don't want him in the public because he can't really communicate properly. But it's very frustrating for me because I believe these superstar players, the celebrities out there, especially the younger ones, actually all of them, would want to save these kids if they understood the issue.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, and they may not care about the details, but we care about the details, which are that in 2023, there were 27,000 pounds of fentanyl across our southern border. That was an 800% increase since 2019. And in 2021, 90% of some 80,000 opioid-related deaths involved fentanyl. Derek, when you look at this bill, this bipartisan border deal out of the U.S. Senate, and you see three times the amount going to Ukraine as opposed to 20 million going to our southern border. I know you have a lot of relationships with family members who have lost loved ones to fentanyl. Does it feel like a slap in the face to those people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, their biggest complaint is that no one's really paying attention to this. They're now trying to save other kids. They're trying to help other families, and they don't understand why the government is disengaging on this issue. And by the way, since you mentioned the stats, the DEA has very, very good statistics now. They pushed out the latest numbers. Over 78 million fake pills were seized last year and 12,000 pounds of powder. And remember, let's not forget, the DEA administrator said that 7 out of 10 pills contain a potentially lethal dose of fentanyl. So, yeah, it's kind of disgusting that we are not putting Americans first. We are putting all these other countries first. And by the way, there's another thing, Amanda, which is gets me really cranked up, is that even the FBI director talks so much about the threats that China poses against this country, But yet we are letting Chinese nationals come in at record levels, over 24,000 last year. We already have an average of 5,000 a month in the first 3 months coming in the southern border. But what are they doing? Setting up marijuana grow operations, counterintelligence operations, and God knows what else. And how many Chinese nationals that are military age men are coming in with the gotaways? This is the question that nobody really seems to want to talk about. But that's our national security as they're going into our infrastructure, our financial products, our, you know, our electricity, all our different infrastructures relying on technology, and they have hacking in all these different systems. So how can this be acceptable to anybody that is from America? Like, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
Derek, you helped us a few months ago on what I think is a very important story about all of these Chinese pot farms up in Maine, which, by the way, are all over the country, but Maine was so shocking. Do you have any doubt from the work you've done, the years that you had access to intelligence and chief of operations, that China has, as part of its American agenda, an effort to make as many Americans addicted as possible?
Well, I would say they are trying to use different substances to destabilize and destroy America. It's a different type of warfare. We're not used to it. People are not comfortable with talking about this chemical attack. But John, let's talk about the current chemicals that they're sending. It's not just the precursors to make fentanyl. It's not just the fentanyl they're still sending on websites. What about the nitazine, isoniazine, etonitazine, protonitazine, metonitazine, xylazine, and carfentanil? All of these bath salts now, like Florida's got an epidemic on Utilone coming out of China. There's undercover operations around the country where they order this stuff up on the websites and they deliver it right to America. Those are substances that are very dangerous and lethal, more powerful than fentanyl. And the American public is not connecting the dots that China's also providing the money laundering services for the cartels.
Yep.
So they can now buy... The Chinese businessmen can now take the cash in America, buy property, buy land, set up their own intelligence operations. It's a joke. How many Americans are buying property all over the Communist Party of China? But yet the Chinese are here eating our lunch, right? And we're sitting here and we're allowing this. It's absolutely so sickening. And I can't really explain it any other way. I don't understand the average person that we all are friendly with. We don't care if you're Democrats or Republicans, but do you want to see the destruction of America?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Derek, there is an interesting indicator of how bad it seems things have gotten at the border. You know, when you hear about historic drug operations, sting operations, you know, the during the Cuban Missile Crisis, even historic operations in the mid-90s, it always involves the DEA because the DEA, your former organization, is who concentrates on that type of thing. It's your specialty. What does it say about the border crisis that now CBP is seizing more illicit drugs than the DEA?
It's real simple. It shows that the level of production in Mexico is so far off the charts. And CBP is very talented. They have some good technology. They have some diehard, dedicated American patriots. And they're working with their dogs and they're working with all the screening equipment. And I applaud them. They're saving lives every day. Just like law enforcement, you know, you seize 1,000 pills, that could potentially kill 700 people, according to the DEA administrator. So I am very excited about the work law enforcement's doing, but it's a shame how they don't get supported. We still have this defund the police movement, but it's kind of interesting now. In the state of Oregon, they wanted the decriminalization of drugs, but now they're declaring this public health and public safety crisis driven by fentanyl. This week, it's a major announcement. Governor, mayor, they're all out there. It's disgusting that they started this, and now all these sanctuary cities, same thing.
All right, guys, there's a lot of big Senate races. One of them coming up around the corner. Nevada's in play. The Democrat there in pretty big trouble. And the Republican who's got a good chance of securing the nomination, aligned with President Trump, Dr. Jeff Guntner, is going to wrap up our show today and talk about why Nevada's trending red and what it could mean for the 2024 election. We'll have that right after these messages.
Welcome back, everybody. While the U.S. Virgin Island Republican presidential caucuses are taking place tonight, yes, that's tonight, But most eyes remain on the great state of Nevada. Former president and current 2024 GOP frontrunner is looking for a huge caucus victory in order to be 3-0 in early voting states as he prepares to take on Nikki Haley in her home state of South Carolina. And our next guest will also be on the ballot later this year in the Silver State. Dr. Jeff Gunter was President Trump's ambassador to Iceland and currently maintains his dermatology practice while running for U.S. Senate. And he joins us now to give us a live look from the grounds of the Nevada caucuses. Dr. Gunter, welcome back. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, you guys. Just great to be here. Love being on your show. And you're making a difference in America. So congrats.
We love having you on. And the latest I saw with respect to 538, I think the President Trump was at 48 and Joe Biden was at 40. Do you think that that's going to hold as far as the margin tonight? Reflective of that with Republicans?
Absolutely. I think it's even going to go further. Let's face it, for all your viewers, for you guys, for all of America, the truth matters. And they see what's going on with Joe Biden. We all saw, you know, the actual notes from the DOJ's investigation into his poor handling of the TSSCI documents. And really what they found is that he's mentally incompetent. And not only is he mentally incompetent, he's dangerous. And why is he dangerous? Look at the border, a complete disaster with Ali Mayorkas and fentanyl and crime and everything coming across. Inflation creates dangers. Afghanistan was a disaster. So everyone knows and longs for the days of Donald J. Trump. And for that reason, really, Nevada is Trump country. And we're going to see it with the great caucus tonight. Donald Trump's going to be victorious. And we're all going to be rooting him on tonight at the Treasure Island Hotel. So it's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be a fun event. We're going to have some live coverage of it here later in the network. Sir, you were the first one to tell us that Trump was rising in Nevada. That's before we had any polling. You knew it. You had the ground intelligence. I think a lot of people were shocked when Nikki Haley showed up solo on the ballot and lost to none of the above by a stunning number of points. What message were Nevadans trying to send to Nikki Haley with that vote?
You know, the reality is she's looking like somewhat of a political grifter at this point. I really can't understand why she's still in the race. And all of us here in Nevada, by voting none of the above, sent her a clear message that it's time for her to pull out and let's galvanize behind the greatest president we've had since Abraham Lincoln. She gave it a try. She probably went through a lot of donor money, but now's the time for her to step away. My question is who does she call to concede to? Does she call none of the above and concede the race to him?
That's a hard call to make.
No, we all remember Donald Trump talking about, you know, in the race in 2016, going like 1%. How do you get 1%? And it's even more mind-boggling to think how you lost to none of the above. That's a whole new standard that we're witnessing. And look, I'm a physician here in Nevada. I talk to patients every day. I knew it a long time ago. I know it now. Look, you guys are constantly interfacing with Americans across the country. They love Donald Trump. They long for the days. They long for the safety. They long for a country when we had a border. And that's why he's surging. And you also saw the results of all the March events. I mean, the Tuesday events are going to be just steamrolling over everyone. And Donald Trump will be the nominee and he will take down Joe Biden and he will be victorious here in Nevada as well.
Sir, I want to ask you, last time I was in Nevada I was in Reno sometime of last year. And I think that inflation had hit about 12 or 13 points cumulative. And the topic on the mind of a lot of Nevadans was inflation and the economy. It's hit Nevada, to an outsized degree, I think, compared to a lot of other states, but immigration still reigns supreme. We saw the debacle in the Senate with that bipartisan border bill, although I would argue it was just a foreign aid bill. That got scrapped and, you know, failed impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas. For those failures, does that drive Nevadans to the polls even more on the basis of immigration?
100%. And I think Nevadans agree with you completely, Amanda. That was not an American border bill. That was a Ukrainian border bill. That was purely for Zelensky with something like $60 billion. And when you're here in Nevada, and for instance, we're hosting the Super Bowl, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be unbelievable. But we have to pay attention to human trafficking issues. We have to pay attention to fentanyl. We have to pay attention to crime. And all those open borders and things created by Joe Biden add additional pressure here on something that's going to be a fantastic event. When you go to fill up your car every day in Nevada and see that when Joe Biden took over, gas prices nearly doubled. The cost of just your average groceries have gone up 25-40%. So when you are a Nevadan here working every day, playing by the rules, and you see, to be quite honest, crooked Joe Biden step in and raise your gas prices, raise your prices at the grocery store, and flood your border with people, flood your state with crime and fentanyl and everything else, you're not happy. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to vote him out. And that's what we're going to do here in Nevada come November, for sure. And that's why they're going to elect me also, the next senator from Nevada as well, because they see that rubber stamp Rosen, rubber stamp Jackie Rosen, 93% of the time has been a complete rubber stamp for Joe Biden. And Nevadans are sick of it. They've had enough. And we're going to make a change, and we're going to lead this big red wave right across the country.
All right, folks, that wraps up the Sunday Brunch edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Justin News. I'm so grateful that everybody could join us today. A big thank you to all of our guests, and it was quite a lineup. Congressmen Rich McCormick, Eli Crane, and Andy Biggs, Dr. Jeff Guttner, the Senate candidate in Nevada, and, of course, Derek Malt, Sr., the great former DEA operations chief, special operations chief. That's a heck of a lineup. I'm so grateful for their engagement today on this very important show. All right, folks. Also, be sure to go check out that incredible offer from Factor Meals. FactorMeals.com/JustNews50. Use the JustNews50 promo code. Get half off your order. That is one heck of a deal. All right, we'll be back on Monday with regular programming. CPAC is right around the corner. Matt Schlapp will join us on Monday. You're not going to want to miss that. Until then, God bless you. Have a great rest of your weekend. I hope you're spending this Sunday blessed by family and friends, and maybe some good weather, too. Some places having a little bit of spring weather. That's not too bad. All right, we'll see you on Monday. God bless you. Have a great night. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.